M is for Matt Attack.
G is for Graham.
B is for Bagshaw.
And this is the MGB Wrestling Podcast, the podcast with PG rated material accessible to wrestling fans of all ages. In episode 14 of the MGB Wrestling Podcast. In match 1, we will look at this week in wrestling news. In match 2, our review of Raw. Match 3, Are You Smarter Than a Fourth Grader? In match 4, our review of SmackDown Live. Match 5, Tweet of the Week. And in match 6, Podcast of the Week. Please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating and review us on iTunes on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Mention the MGB Wrestling Podcast and Mason in your review, and we'll give you a shout out on the air. Now, I didn't notice this actually until after we'd recorded episode 13. So we do need to thank Kelsey, who gave us a 5-star review, and also View from the Top Rope. Kelsey, you can find at Super Kicking It with Kelsey, and also on at Two-Faced Pod as well. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at MGB Wrestling Pod, and also you can follow me at Mr. Bagshaw. Also, listen to the other podcasts on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Ringside Rant is on Monday. Caden Nation is on Tuesday, Upstate Unplugged is on Wednesday, and View from the Top Rope is on Thursday, and of course your MGB Wrestling Podcast is on Fridays. My name is Graham Bagshaw, and my co-host and creator of this podcast is proof that wrestling fans live with their parents, my 10-year-old son, Mason. Alright, so normally Mason would be responding at this point. Mason's not actually with us right now. Now, we had quite a busy week. Last week we had no baseball games at all. So that means this week he had two baseball games he's got to make up. So he played one on Monday, he's got one on Wednesday, and he's got one on Friday. Now, he didn't get a chance, he didn't get back till 7 o'clock on Tuesday, so he didn't get a chance to watch Raw or SmackDown or anything like that. And Thursday is my 12th wedding anniversary, so I'm not going to have time to edit a podcast or do anything. So this is Wednesday right now, and luckily we got our special guest who's managed to stand in for us again. We've invited him back because he did such a good job the first time. So we got Matt Attack UK, so Matt Willis is with us again. How are you doing, Matt?
Evening, Graham. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, and we certainly appreciate you standing in for this. Now, having said Mason's not here, Mason is going to be here later, so we're going to record a couple of sections with him, but he just hasn't had a chance to watch Raw or SmackDown. We wanted to put something out this week, so we've invited you in to talk about the regular segments. He's going to do the quiz, and actually I think you're going to do the quiz as well, and he's also going to talk about one of the sections that we talk about as well, and he might give us a podcast if he's listened to that, but I need to get most of this edited tonight, so I think I might be in big trouble if I don't do anything for my wife on our 12th wedding anniversary. So I'm playing it safe. I want to make sure I make it through to at least 13. I know while ever I'm nice to her, I get to stay in America. So I got to make sure I keep doing all those good things. All right, let's go straight into match one, which is this week in wrestling news. Now, I actually had this written down ahead of time before we even knew that you were going to be on, and you actually sent me this on Twitter as well. You said, "Hey, did you see this?" So I got this on SeekingAlpha.com, and it's the World Wrestling Entertainment has received a massive offer to make Fox the new home of SmackDown Live. It said specific terms weren't known, but the deal is set to begin in October 2019. Now, I think I've heard that confirmed now. I think it sounds like it's going to be a billion-dollar deal over 5 years. And it sounded like NBC had first refusal on it, but they declined it. But they are going to instead focus on Monday Night Raw, as far as I can remember. Do you have any other insight on this, Matt? Any other details that you heard online?
No, I mean, the deal hasn't been announced as much as what we've heard.
Yeah.
There's nothing really more out about it apart from, I mean, I heard it's like multi-million pounds, a billion pounds. I mean, I'm using pounds, using dollars, of course.
Sure.
But either way, it's a massive amount of money to go to SmackDown Live still on Fridays.
Yeah. Now, I wasn't so surprised that it was moving on a day. And I actually don't like it on Monday and Tuesday anyway, because it's kind of like the rest of the week. It's like, what have you got? Now, I know there's NXT on Wednesday, and sure, there's Impact on Thursday as well. And I would much prefer it to be spread out. I actually preferred it when it was on Thursday. And I actually went back and looked to see when it was. So it said the show used to be broadcast on Thursdays. It moved to Fridays on September the 9th, 2005. Now, I got to be honest, I don't remember that at all. And then I tried to remember why. I was in England at the time, and I didn't watch any Raw or SmackDown when I was there, so I obviously missed that one. And then it said it returned to Thursday in 2015. So it was on Fridays for 10 years. That I don't. Yeah. I've had big gaps in my wrestling knowledge. I honestly did not remember that at all.
Well, not SmackDown, it was quite a big deal. And the annoying thing about it was is that it was still recorded on a Tuesday.
Oh, so it wasn't live then? Is that the deal?
No.
Oh.
It was recorded on Tuesdays.
Hmm.
They haven't actually changed the day it was recorded at all.
Oh, that was kind of weird. Oh, I didn't realise that at all. And also it says it finally moved back to Tuesday on July 19th, 2016. Now, actually, that was when Mason and I was watching. I don't remember that at all. I do not remember it moving from Thursday to Tuesday at all. I obviously have a terrible memory. I know I'm getting old a little bit. I perhaps need to write some more stuff down, but...
I mean, SmackDown's always... I mean, SmackDown, I did this the other day. There are just 23 shows away from 1,000th episode.
Uh-huh.
Ridiculous when you think about it, because they started that in 99.
Yep.
Raw started 6 years earlier.
Yep.
Didn't think it'd be that short a distance, but you know.
Now, the only other thing I heard, and I couldn't find where I found it from, though, is I also heard that they're probably going to extend the show as well. They're probably going to go from 2 hours to 3 hours as well, like Raw does. And I found something about that as well. It did say after the 1,000th episode, which I certainly didn't remember because I wasn't watching then, in 2012, Raw became a 3-hour broadcast from 2 hours. Now, I got to say, personally, I actually prefer the 2-hour shows to the 3-hour shows. And as much as I think Raw is the better product, I think 2-hour Raw is a better product than 3-hour Raw. There always seems to be filler in those shows. I don't know what you think about that. I'm not sure SmackDown can necessarily extend to 3 hours right now.
I think you're absolutely right on that one. SmackDown can't survive on a 3-hour show.
Yeah.
It is so hard to fill a 3-hour gap.
Yeah.
I bet when you've got live content, I mean, at least Raw can throw in, the cruiserweight division.
Correct.
To pack things out a bit.
Yeah.
But they will have like a 20-minute promo start each show. And that's Raw or SmackDown have the same thing. I mean, yes, SmackDown have got a bigger tag division, but do you want to see another 3 tag matches? Not particularly.
No.
I mean, there's a great talent on SmackDown, and there would be, could there be another superstar shake-up between now and then, obviously, next 2019 fall. But going 3 hours would probably be suicidal.
Yeah, now, I've just thought about this literally off the top of my head, trying to think about how do you fill an extra hour. Now, NXT's 1 hour. How about that suddenly moves on to Fox? That would definitely improve that deal for Fox, that they get some much better... And I think it has a lot of respect, NXT, as well. Because right now, that's just shown on the network. I don't know if they'd be prepared to give that up as, like, one of the network perks, that if you own the network, you get to see NXT. I don't know. For $1 billion, I think you could probably much throw anything into the deal, I would have thought. What do you think about that, throwing NXT in as a 3rd hour?
Well, that's the thing, you see. NXT is on the network because no one wanted it.
Wow, yeah. That shows you how much it's changed then, because while I've been watching it, everybody talks about how good NXT is and what a great
when
product
NXT
it is.
When NXT went to the network, Triple H was running it, and Triple H was given it by Vince as his little baby, and now, voila, NXT is now the must-see show, which is where you get all the talent come from and everything. You're seeing the Bruiserweight, you're seeing, you know, all these talents come through.
Sure.
And any network should be biting Vince's hand off. Both of his hands off to try and get NXT on their network. No one wants it. Well, no one wanted it at the time. Well, not if they want it now. I think they would probably take it as a deal. But NXT is done for... They do block recordings.
Sure. But they can still release that as an hour show, though. If somebody took that, you could still put that out as an hour show. I think everyone knows that's recorded.
They could definitely do that. I mean, would it look at the block? Possibly. But 205 Live could also be the same way.
I'm going to be honest with you. There's certain people on 205 I like, and I still don't watch 205. I don't know what it is about that. And I've always said that I like the technical wrestlers, and I know that's... I don't know. I just think they've done such a poor job of promoting that or putting that package together that even I don't watch it, and I like that type of wrestling.
This is why Triple H is now on 205 Live as well.
And perhaps that's something that perhaps I can get back into then. Because I definitely respect Triple H, so that might be something I can get into. Now, I do want to talk about another story here as well that I saw, and I couldn't pick between the two, so I just decided to put them both on. CBS Sports reported that pay-per-views are going to start at 7 Eastern, and the pre-show is going to start at 6 Eastern from now on, and it's going to run for 4 hours. And I believe that starts with Money in the Bank. Now, for me, I'm happy about that. I'm sure when I ask Mason later, he's going to be happy as well, because he'll actually get to watch more of the show. Because normally it doesn't start till 8, and he's getting ready for bed like that, because it's normally a weekday for him. Or, sorry, it's normally on the weekend, but he's getting ready for school on the Monday. Now, I was thinking more, actually, of you, and other friends in England as well, who normally the actual match doesn't start until 1 a.m. So how does that appeal to you, then, that you're actually going to start an hour earlier?
basically what I did there was I put my head in my hand and shook my head as violently as I could. That is a... I do not like the idea of moving all pay-per-views to 4 hours long.
Oh, no, I don't like that side of it either. Yeah, no, I don't like that side either. I think 3 hours was fine, but yeah.
I get why they're doing it. It's because they're now doing dual-branded pay-per-views. But the whole point of a pay-per-view event is to showcase the best stuff.
Sure.
Now, last time I checked, the Elias segment at Backlash, for example.
Yeah.
That was one of the best moments of the card, and it wasn't even a match.
His actual one in the after show was even better. They actually let him sing in the after show, and he actually got his funny lines in there without being interrupted. But yeah, no, I would agree with you.
When you get the filler being better than the matches, you have to worry.
I would agree.
There's some very talented wrestlers on this card, and I mean, I'll be talking about this with Jimmy on my next Matt Attack, but Backlash was such a disappointment, and that was only 3 hours.
Yep. All right, I'm going to break the question into two parts for you then. So, you don't like the 4 hours either, and I'm not a big fan of that. What about the earlier starting time, though?
Earlier starting time, I'm all for. Because it works for everybody. It's much more sociable for people in America, for one thing. Because then they've hopped in, like you say, Bishop Mason.
Yeah.
Not so much of Jackson, because he's still...
No, he's not watching anything. The only thing he's seen is the live event, because you can't really see what's going on, because we were on Row Z. We were right at the back. And one other thing, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, but I'm going to save that for later. But yeah, no, he doesn't watch. But for Mason and for kids and sort of that the general audience, I think that's a much better thing.
Absolutely. I can't fault it. That is a brilliant idea to get more people watching it at a more sociable time.
Yep. And it's still late. I'm going to say it's still midnight in Britain when that starts. But at least that's slightly better. And of course, if you don't think it's going to... I guess it'll still end at the same time then. Because normally it's still going to end at 4 o'clock then for you.
Yeah.
So I guess that part's still even. All right, let's leave that on that. And we're going to ask Mason later to see what he thinks about that as well.
Yeah.
All right. So I talked with Matt about the fact that SmackDown is moving to... it's moving to Friday nights. So it's going to move on Fox. And it's also going to become a 3-hour program. All right. Opinions on that, man, Mason. What do you think about it moving to Friday?
SmackDown?
Sure.
3-hour program?
Uh-huh.
They don't have as many good superstars as Raw.
Uh-huh.
And they're struggling to do a 3-hour show?
Absolutely. Are you sure you didn't listen to what me and Matt said earlier? I'm sure you were like 10 miles away at the time. That's pretty much what I said. Totally agree with all those things. I much prefer Raw when it was 2 hours, and I know you haven't known that era at all. And, I really think they're going to struggle for 3. My only thought was, for an extra hour, could they throw in NXT? But, anyway, they didn't talk about that. Now, the other thing we talked about as well is that the pay-per-views, we believe, starting with Money in the Bank, are actually going to start at 7 o'clock, and the pre-show is going to start at 6 o'clock, Eastern Standard Time in America. And they're going to run for 4 hours. Now, Matt was very upset they were going to run for 4 hours, but he was okay that it was going to start at 7 o'clock, which is a little bit earlier. What do you think about those two things? So, first of all, what do you think about it being 4 hours?
That's a little long. That's a WrestleMania. It's like a really long show that not many fans want. That's hard. Like, Raw, well, I guess it's not hard to do because Raw is 3 hours and SmackDown is going to be 3 hours, and that's 6 hours of material if you add both of those, so you could just subtract 1 hour from each of those.
Yeah, and they are going to do, like I say, they are going to put both of those shows together now, so they're going to be co-branded. So yeah, when you say it that way, that actually does seem more sensible. I'm still hoping that although they're going to have the brands together, I'm hoping they're going to mix them up though as well, a little bit as well.
And I am happy that they're starting it earlier, so I can maybe watch the whole show.
Well, we're not watching the whole show because it would go until 11 o'clock at night, but you can certainly watch at least probably half of it, which is more than you can normally watch. So if you watch 7 till 9, that's like 2 hours, whereas normally it doesn't even start till 8 o'clock, so at most you get to watch is like an hour. So no, I think that's good, and you could definitely watch the whole pre-show, 6 till 7, so you could almost watch 3 hours of a potentially 5-hour show, even though the pre-show is not so good about that. Okay, match two. This is our moments from Monday Night Raw. This was from Albany, New York. All right, Matt, what was your third moment?
For me, it was Elias beating Bobby Roode clean. And I mean, Elias has not changed his gimmick at all since he had it. They changed his name, that's about it.
Yep.
And he was not getting over at all. But then all of a sudden, he's not just over, He's rapidly over.
He is, and my co-worker talks about the fact that he can berate the crowd as much as he likes. He can be nice to them at the start, and then he'll just tell them to shut up, and they still love it. And whenever he says his line, they're always with him. They'll always say, walk with Elias. Yeah. They're so with him.
What do you stand for? Yeah. Walk with Elias!
Oh, they look. This is how over he is. Jackson knows who he is as well. Jackson saw a picture of him, and he said straight away, that's Elias. I don't think I've ever mentioned it to him. I know I have an Elias t-shirt that I bought recently, but he knows who it is. Everyone knows who Elias is. He just has that look. Like I say, he's got his guitar. He's got the long hair. He stands out. He's got everything that appeals.
Love to drift away. Beautiful move.
Absolutely. It does. When you see it setting up, it does. It looks really good to see that one on TV.
And I like the little rivalry with him and Bobby Roode as well. I like that rivalry as well. So that's why I picked Elias for beating Bobby Roode clean. Because yeah. He's meant to be a heel, but he's winning clean.
So he is.
He's got the ability.
He is. I think we talked about this as well at one point with Mason, like, is he a heel or is he a face? And it's kind of tough to tell. And I'm still not convinced on what Bobby Roode is, because they keep changing that character weekly. 1 minute he's a heel, then he's a face, then he's a heel. I just don't care anymore particularly.
I've got more to say about that later on regarding another character.
All right, go ahead. Give us your second moment then.
Second one was the B team. Still undefeated.
Still undefeated. And Mason picked this last week as one of his moments, and it was impressive. And, their celebration at the end, they were very enthusiastic. They were rolling around the ring together, and I like them. I like the B team. I'm totally for them right now.
Yeah, who would have thought? B was the only the best, according to the commentary team. Who would have thought that Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas would have got over so massively?
Yeah.
I mean, they're great. I mean, they've got a tag team title shot at some point.
Yeah. I wish I'd written down the figures. I saw it after week one, what their record was on Raw before they became the B team. And it was pretty much like 0-92 and 0-80. They had almost no wins in like 100 matches each. And then as soon as they come together as a tag team, it's suddenly successful. I thought once Miz had moved, I was like, that's it, they're done. There's no Miztourage. Those guys are going to disappear. And the exact opposite's happened. It's amazing.
I did have fears about that. But I'm really pleased. Not only found a job for the two of them, but they're not jobbing. They're actually doing really well. And, I mean, will it be a long-term thing? Probably not. But I like the comedians that they're doing as well.
So I like that too. Now, I do wonder if part of their appeal is the underdog. I wonder if that's why we're both liking it right now. The underdog, certainly as British people, we always root for the underdog. And right now, they're definitely the underdogs. They weren't expected to do anything, and they are. So I'm not sure. That'll be one I'm going to ask Mason probably later as well. But I think he likes the B team as well, just from that one match. So we'll have to see on that one.
Absolutely.
All right, go ahead. Give us your number one moment. And we haven't got any repeats so far, so this could be. We could have six totally different moments to talk about.
But this one I've got a feeling will be. My number one moment is Braun Strowman versus Finn Balor. What a match that was. Phenomenal main event.
I know you're a Finn Balor fan, so I had a feeling that this might be something that would appeal to you as a match.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I mean, the best part is when Strowman was doing his old T-Rex thing, about to do his thing around the ring, and it was just countered straight away by Balor. I'm like, no one does this. Fantastic. I mean, it was almost, sometimes you think maybe Balor's going to turn a little bit heel, like he was on the indies.
Yeah.
But...
And he had a hint of that the other week. It looked like it, and I'm trying to remember what he did. I think he was tag teaming with Rollins, and then he took Rollins out at the end, and it's like, oh, is he going heel? But nothing seems to materialise.
It's that devilish little smile he does. It's like you can tell some of the demons trying to get out. He's like what he's trying to do, but he's not quite letting it out. I like that. It makes the demon thing even more special when it comes around.
Now, I got a question about that, because Mason asked this. And as we were watching WrestleMania, he was like, demon's going to come out, right? I was like, oh, of course, it's WrestleMania. He's got to come out. No, we've only seen him once, I think, since he's moved across to the main roster, right?
Demon King came out for a couple of times. One was for SummerSlam, when he won the Universal title.
Yep.
He brought it out again when he was in a feud with Bray Wyatt.
Oh, and I'd forgotten about that one, yes.
And Halloween themed one. It was Halloween themed as well, bizarre. Yeah. And then he had the last one when he was supposed to face Bray Wyatt at Survivor Series, but Bray Wyatt came down with meningitis.
Yeah.
But as did Roman Reigns, of course.
Yep.
And AJ Styles stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a dream match we saw, but at the same time, he still used the demon persona. We thought, why keep the demon persona here? There's no feud between him and AJ. It made no sense for that, but what a match that was.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen it since Survivor Series a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it's been a while ago. I was surprised. I thought that seemed like an obvious one for WrestleMania. Wow. But all right, well, I'm going to go with my three moments, and I notice I'm saying, I guess, talking points. I'm not saying these are my best moments, not by any stretch of the imagination, but I think for my third moment, and I had to put this third, because if I put it one, you'd get totally the wrong thing. I think we've got to talk about the Lashley sisters. Now, I was absolutely shocked when I heard this. Now, I know they'd said they were going to do this, and I obviously realized it wasn't going to be the Lashley sisters, but to me, this was absolutely awful. If this is the best that the writing team can come up with, getting some men dressed up with wigs, I didn't see what the point of that was. I thought it was terrible. The view from the top rope, I think, said it was the worst moment in 10 years of wrestling.
I would say it's probably the worst moment I have seen on Raw in my entire wrestling watching career.
Correct. Yeah, it absolutely appalling.
I've seen Mason, don't look at this when you get into your way older, including the Katie Vick storyline. And it was really, really, really bad. This is worse than that.
And the other thing that I saw online that sort of backed this up as well, we're talking about all the things that Finn Balor's doing with inclusiveness and his shirt that he actually wore at WrestleMania instead of coming out as the Demon. We've had the issue with Nia Jax talking about bullying and things like that. And then you bring this out and it's like, whoa, I'm getting seriously mixed messages here. What on earth? I'm quite happy to end this at that, just leave it at that. But they said that was the worst moment in 10 years. Now, I'm getting good at these little teasers, Matt. I said, I think it's bad, but I said, I actually have a moment that was even worse than that. And I said, but you're going to have to listen to episode 14 to find out what it is. So my second moment is this. Now, I don't know if I just missed it last week. Corey Graves' hair. What on earth has happened to that? I thought I was watching The Hunger Games for a minute. Now, I'm not very good at describing things, but it looked absolutely crazy. Now, did I miss it last week, or was that new for Raw?
No, I think that was definitely on last week, yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess I just didn't see that. And last week with Matt, last week with James, I think I had to watch some of the highlights, so I perhaps didn't get to see all of it, and I might just have missed it, but oh my goodness. Yeah, as bad as the Lashley sisters were, I think Corey Graves' hair was possibly even worse than that. Perhaps I'm going for sensationalism, but all right, I don't know. I looked at it. I thought there was a new member on commentary team to begin with, and I was like, "Oh no, that's Corey Gray." All right, I'm going to move on quickly before I get carried away. All right, my number one moment was Seth Rollins tag teaming with Reigns. Now, my question with this one is, how long is it until Dean Ambrose comes back? Reigns just doesn't seem to be able to do anything right now. No one likes him, but when the Shield are together, everybody loves him. It can't be that long, surely. It definitely worked as a tag team. I want to see them back together as a three. I don't want Reigns fighting for that title anymore, but I want him back as a tag team fighter. What do you think?
I briefly looked this earlier on because I was looking for something earlier else. He still listed as inactive.
Yeah.
I haven't even find about him. He's not clear to compete still. I quite liked Seth and Roman teaming up. So I fully agree with you. It was a good match, definitely.
Yep.
I enjoyed it.
Now, or the other option is, though, because I actually think that Rollins is the bigger star than Reigns right now. Should Rollins get the push for the championship belts instead?
I mean, you've seen the Raw highlights, of course. I mean, one of the things that I had down here in my honorable mentions is the way that Rollins fainted to do the stomp and then did the stomp.
Yeah.
I like that. I love that. Like,
yeah.
Love it. So
I thought that was good as well. It just gives that more believability to it. If it happens every time, but yeah, the fake one first I thought was really good. And I'm pretty sure that also appears in our top 10 moments. So let me run through quickly on our top 10 moments. So number 10, they did have the B-team beat Fandango. And I think it was again. I think they fought them in week one as well. Number 9 was that drift away by Elias on Bobby Roode. Number 8 was the super kick by Dolph Ziggler on Chad Gable. Number 7, Ember Moon is Eclipse on Alexa Bliss. Ember Moon, I love Alexa Bliss, don't get me wrong, but I'm really liking this push for Ember Moon as well at the same time. I'm kind of disappointed Alexa's falling back a little bit, but I do certainly like that push on Ember Moon. Number 6 was Ronda Rousey saying, I'm going to take your title and your arm. That would have been one of my honorable mentions as well. I was close for going for that one. I like her little lines that she throws out there.
One thing about that, Graham, I actually, when I thought about the Ronda versus Nia with Stephanie, I've got to admit, I actually was impressed.
Now, it was surprising. Can somebody comment on the fact that although they did the rest of it, I just like the line in particular. Like, there was no tables flipped over. There was no violence or anything. It was actually kind of civil, which didn't really fit with the story they were telling. But I just like the line. I just like her lines that she throws out there. She has those little one lines and she makes it clear that I'm basically going to break your arm right now. All right. Number five, the stomp by Rollins and then the pin on Kevin Owens. Number four, Natalya makes Sarah Logan tap. Number three, they had the Lashley family as their top three moment. I don't know who put that list together, but I think someone's losing their job, probably, or by the time this podcast is released. Number two, Jinder attacks Reigns and Rollins, and number one was the running power slam on Finn Balor, and I know you talked about that match as well.
Honorable mention for the way Strowman actually lifted him up and then put him in a corner out of respect after the match as well.
Oh, I missed that. I missed that. And I'm going to say, I had to watch kind of quickly, so I didn't get to see everything. But yeah, oh, nice touch on that. I like that. All right, in match four, are you smarter than a fourth grader? So I looked at that thing with SmackDown possibly moving to Friday. I decided to look up former WWE programs, and I wanted to see, mate, if you could pick the fake from the real. Now, I thought this was more for Mason. Now, I think this is going to be too easy for you, Matt, because I'm sure you're going to know them. So you're going to have to give me the year that it actually ended as well, okay? And I'm going to give you within a couple of years, okay? So, first of all, you got to decide, though, are they real or are they fake? Now, I don't know if these actually appeared in England or not either, so that it might turn out to be an equalizing thing anyway, okay? All right, okay. Now, I put them in alphabetical order so you couldn't try and figure, like, did you put all the real ones at the start or the fake one or whatever, okay? So there's no pattern except for alphabetical order, okay? All right, the first one is Friday night's main event.
That's fake.
Actually, that one's real. It was 1997. It only lasted 1 year, which is probably why you don't remember it then. So that's not a great start, and I should have really kept a pen and pencil so I can keep track, but I'm going to try and keep track on my fingers, okay? All right, number two, Monday Night Mayhem.
I know that is a thing. I know it's an interview segment I've been meant to do.
You're saying that's real?
Yeah.
Actually, that's fake. Well, I made it up. It wasn't listed on the list where I saw of all the different programs. So if I came up with something that Vince McMahon came up with, that's amazing. No, I totally made that one up. I thought that sounded pretty authentic, though. It's not listed. Yeah, that's wrong. It's not listed as a show at all.
No, so it's Titans I'm thinking of.
Oh, Mason, you got a great chance right now. It's good to be having you on later. All right, the third one is Saturday Morning Slam. That one is real. Now, you're only getting half a point. You got to get when was the finishing date for that show? And you got to get it within 2 years.
Okay. Morning Slam, 2012.
That's pretty good. It started in 2012. It ended in 2013. So you get the full point for that question, okay? Now, this was actually the one I was talking about when I said earlier, Jackson watches something. I discovered this by actually researching this quiz. So I didn't know anything about this. I'd never heard of it. So I'm reading from Wikipedia. WWE Saturday Morning Slam is a professional wrestling television program by WWE that was catered to the children's demographic. Saturday Morning Slam aired on the CW Vortex programming block on Saturday mornings and was rated TVG. Now, I got super excited by that because that's basically anybody can watch it. As a result, moves that targeted the head or neck were banned. It was cancelled in 2013 and its final episode was on May the 11th, 2013. Now, I looked on the network, it's not there. I was gutted. I looked on YouTube, it is there, but there's not many episodes. There's like four. I showed one to Jackson last night. Oh my goodness. I wish I could have recorded his reaction. He was so excited by it. He loved watching it. Now, the funniest things though, if you remember this show, Matt, you should go to YouTube. And you should actually look at the comments section. Because the people who are commenting on there, it's hilarious. They obviously have no idea. They're like, this is absolutely terrible. You don't see any violence or anything. You don't see any. Of course not. It's for kids. It's a kids show. Yeah, they have no idea what's going on. Like, this is the worst show ever. As soon as somebody's about to get kicked, they cut away from the action. Of course. It's for kids. I loved it for that reason. Just as somebody was about to get hit, it went straight to the commentary team and you saw Daniel Bryan there. So did you ever actually watch any of those, or is it just something that you remember from being on TV?
I remember it being on Sky over here. Okay. On Sky One it was.
Yep.
But as you say, it wasn't on for very long, obviously.
No, it looked like there's at least a year's worth of shows, but I thought it was brilliant. They focused on the characters. It was a lot of the mid-card people who you wouldn't normally see necessarily. It was giving them an extra opportunity. Mick Foley was on there as well, and Jackson knew who that was, so he was excited by that. The one match that we watched, there was a tag team match. The tag team cheated, and they were about to leave. And Mick Foley came out and he's like, nope, we're going to have another match and I'm scheduling it for now. And they were crying on the floor and complaining and whining, and they went back into, they had to go back into the ring. Jackson thought it was hilarious. And for a 4-year-old, it was brilliant. I even think Jet Mason would probably like them as well. They had a lot of dance moves on. They had the Funkadactyls on. So, but no, it focused on entertainment. It focused on character. And it didn't focus on violence. And it focused on things like bumps and people getting knocked over. And you saw flying moves and technical wrestling. I thought it was great for kids. I really wish they would put that on the network. So I'm glad I found one thing. Yeah, Jackson definitely wants to watch more of that. As soon as he watched the first one, he's like, I want to watch your second one. All right, so far you got 1 out of 3. So we're going to move on. So we're going to move on to Shotgun Saturday Night.
Fake.
It's real, actually. That ran from 1997 to 1999. Don't have any information on that one at all. All I know is it was something that existed. I'd never heard of it, but I didn't. I was still living in England at that point, and I didn't watch wrestling at that time. So
can't, I wasn't even watching at that point.
Can't give you any more on that one. All right, next one. Sunday Night Heat.
I've been to watch it live.
So I'm going to assume that's real. And I thought that was one of the easier ones. I thought you would probably know that. Now, of course, you've got to get, for the, as it's a handicap match, you've actually got to get within 2 years of when did it end, though, as well.
Finished in 2012.
It didn't. It actually finished in 2008. So we'll have to see. Technically, you got 2 correct. We'll have to see how well you do, Matt, whether I'll give you a half point or a full point for that one. So right now, I'm going to say 1.5, but we'll see how you do. That I don't know. I don't have any information. Of course, I'm going from Wikipedia as well. If you find out later, I'm quite prepared to add in half a point.
That's fine.
All right, next one. Sunday Night Slam.
See, you next. I want to say fake on that one, definitely.
That one's real. That was 1994 to 1995. Oh, this was actually one of the funner quizzes to put together, trying to figure out what sounds like I made them up. And what's, and I thought I did a good job of disguising some of these ones. No, that one was actually real.
I'm hitting myself all the time. Mason's going to beat me for 3 times in a row now.
That's why you're our favourite. That's why he's your favourite guest, Matt. All right, let's carry on. Remember, this is alphabetical. That's the only reason I'm putting them in this order. All right, what about Takedown Thursday?
I want to say fake. I want to say fake because I've never heard of that. I'm saying fake.
It is fake. I've made that one up. All right, so that's at least 2.5. All right, next one. Throwdown Thursday.
Real.
No, I'm afraid I made that one up. That one is fake. And the last one is WWE Wednesday.
See, it actually sounds real, that one. Real.
That one's fake as well.
What are you thinking about it? My reputation is going down the...
All right, well, perhaps I could edit out the part at the start when I said this is obviously going to be too easy for you. All right, I'm going to give you, we're not going to make it a handicap match at all. I'm going to give you the full point for that one that you called correct. I think it was Sunday Night Heat that you called, right? I think you got 3 out of, I'm just adding up how many. Did I have 9 there? I had 9. 3 out of 9, Matt. So you'll obviously have to listen to episode 14 to find out if Mason does better than that, but... That's an ominous start for you. I think he's going to be delighted that he actually picked that one. I'm feeling kind of good I managed to mess with you on some of those ones as well. But no, the big thing I'm taking out of this quiz is Saturday Morning Slam. I know we promote this as a podcast for the younger generation. If you've got kids, I think that's a good one to look up on YouTube. I think that's a really good way to get them into wrestling, get them excited by it, and all the positive things that wrestling actually has. All right, so we got Mason back now. So this is Wednesday night. He's just played his baseball game. He's just won. It's kind of late, but I want to get this in so we can try and edit. Now, Matt's already done this quiz. Okay. And I'm not going to tell you what he scored yet. So we're going to see what you got, and then I'll tell you what score he got, and then we can see who the winner is. So you're going head-to-head with Matt, but I'm not going to tell you. All right, first question. Friday night's main event.
False.
No, that one is actually real. So 0. All right. Second one, Monday Night Mayhem.
True.
That one's fake as well. I made that one up. All right, now I am going to tell you then, as you started terribly as well, Matt got the first 2 wrong as well. Okay. So right now it is a tie. Okay, third one, Saturday Morning Slam.
Real?
It is, and Matt actually got that one right as well. That's actually the kid show that Jackson was watching the other day. It's actually kind of good, and I'll certainly show you that a bit later.
All right, so it's actually a tie right now. All right, the fourth one. Shotgun Saturday Night.
Oh, not real.
That one is real, actually. I thought that didn't sound real at all either when I looked at that one. So we've only got one so far. All right, next one. Sunday Night Heat.
Real?
That one is, and that's kind of a famous one. Matt knew that one straight away, and I knew you'd know that. Now, actually, you're 2 out of 5 right now. I'm going to tell you what Matt's score is, and this is probably going to help you. He only got 3 out of 9. So you only need 2 more from the next 4, and then you're actually going to beat him on this. He was a little upset. I just edited the part with him, and he was like, oh, Mason's going to beat me for a 3rd time. All right, next one. Sunday Night Slam.
Didn't we already do that one?
No, I did Saturday Morning Slam.
Oh, not real.
No, Saturday Night Slam. Sorry, Sunday Night Slam is actually real, just like Saturday Morning Slam was real as well. All right, so you're still on 2. All right, 3 to go. Take Down Thursday.
Not real?
Correct. That one is fake. I made that one up. Okay? All right, you got 2 to go, but you are tying now. You got 3. All right, next one is Throwdown Thursday.
Not real.
Correct. I made that one up as well. That was totally fake. So that's 4. And last one, WWE Wednesday.
Not real.
Correct. I totally made that one up as well. All right, so you got 5, and other people who've already listened, you're going to come in after Matt, so they'll already know. So Matt got 3. You got 5, and we'll see how our regular listeners actually compare to you on that one there, okay?
Alright, match 4 is our top moments from SmackDown. Okay, go ahead, give me your 3rd moment then, Matt.
Naomi out-wrestling Sonya Deville. See that one coming. I mean, I know Naomi can wrestle, but yep. Sonya Deville is built like a brick chicken house. Do you know, I've been out-wrestling with her, but it was brilliant.
Yeah, and I'm going to jump in. That was actually my number 2 moment as well, the finishing move. The way she wrapped her up, I was like, oh my goodness, that's so athletic. I remember having just talked about and seen on that program before, the Funkadactyls, just like how far she's come since that. That was just like a little dance outfit, and now she's putting on moves like that on Sonya Deville, and obviously she had the championship last year as well. But yeah, no, I was really impressed with Naomi in that match too.
Absolutely. Number 2 moment was Gallows and Anderson beating the Usos. The Usos are obviously credible tag team champions of the past. Gallows and Anderson obviously looking to establish themselves in SmackDown.
Yep.
But they really did very, very well. They're very entertaining tag match. Yep. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yep.
Looking forward to seeing them lose to the Bludgeon Brothers.
I think you're probably right, yeah. I don't see anyone beating the Bludgeon Brothers right now. And probably it saved us from another boring match. Well, perhaps not boring, but repetitive match of seeing Usos versus Bludgeon recently. So I think that's kind of good that that has happened. Now, they've been over here for 2 years now, Gallows and Anderson, and I know they came across sort of at the request partly of AJ Styles. I thought they would have made more of that relationship as well, but that seems to... They did 1 week, and then it never really played out after that. But anyway.
They are still... They were sort of feuding for a while with Babar, but not been to a great extent. Babar seemed to be more aligning themselves with the Miz at the moment.
Yeah, that's certainly what it looked like, yeah. All right, go ahead, give us your top moment then.
My top moment is Daniel Bryan making Jeff Hardy tap out with that heel hook. Ouch!
Yep.
I know how much that hurts. Not a pleasant move to receive, trust me. So... Seeing Daniel Bryan, who was a submission specialist at the better times,
sure.
But he's using not just the yes lock, but now his heel hook.
Yeah, and Mason picked that as his, I think it was his number 1 move last week, actually, because it was kind of, it was like, oh, I was expecting something else, but yeah. Yeah, he's known for his submissions, but yeah, no, I like that new one. I think that looks good.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got a few other bits and pieces that I took note of, but
sure.
I'm sure I
can. You can give us some. Hey, well, let me give you my 3, and then if you've got honorable mentions you want to throw in there, you can certainly do those if I don't, because I might bring up things that you want to talk about, although I'm going to, looking at my list, I'm going to guess probably not. All right, number 3, Lana defeats Billy Kay. Now, I was really surprised by this one. Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, since they've moved across, they've been getting a pretty big push. They've been beating people like Charlotte Flair, and that might just be because Charlotte Flair was going to leave anyway, so it didn't really do her any harm, but I was really shocked that Lana, as far as I can remember, this is her first match in, I don't even know, a long time.
It's her first singles match, I think, since she tried to compete to get in Main Event last year.
Yeah.
But... I actually have that down here as Lana qualifies for Money in the Bank, and I can't say the last word after that. but yeah, but also about the Iconics in general, they just hurt my ears.
They are, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
And nothing against Australians, but the fact of the matter is that Oh my god, that screeching. What's the point of that? Seriously.
See, now I wondered about that. Now I wondered if that was kind of, being a teacher thing, I wondered if that was like trying to be like a high school girl thing and trying to be just annoying and, I don't know, I wondered if that was part of it. Now, the part about Lana winning as well, I know we think that Rusev is over, certainly with the crowd, but not necessarily with WWE high up, as far as we can tell. And I thought this was kind of interesting that clearly by association, Lana would be over as well with the crowd. But the fact that WWE gave her a push, where they haven't necessarily always gave Rusev a push, makes me wonder, is that a change in their policy as well? Are we going to see Rusev get a few more chances as well? Because I don't think Lana necessarily deserved this, that's for sure.
I would agree with you. I don't think Lana deserves the push. She's getting the rub off of Rusev, definitely here. I mean, no one thought Aiden English was going to work with Rusev. No, it was never going to work a million years.
Yeah.
It does. It does. It's yeah. So over now.
Yeah.
And Lana Day was being chanted by the crowd. What?
Yeah, they can't stop it. Yeah, they can't stop that. I would say the crowd loves that sort of thing. And I was kind of surprised, actually, the first person that went to congratulate her was Aiden English. I honestly really thought it would be Rusev there. But that was, yeah, it shows you that Aiden English has a role when it really didn't look like he was going to have anything. Once that tag team got split up. Now, I can't remember his partner. I know it's Simon Gotch. Now, I don't remember if that's his indie name or if that was his WWE name, because I know they switched it.
Yeah,
they switched it a little bit. I think he goes by something else slightly different now on the indie scene over here, but I can't quite remember. All right, my number two moment I already talked about, Naomi, because you mentioned her as well. My number one, I actually went with Carmelo's promo. Now, I just realized after I'd written down my three, I went, whoa, I went all women this week. I didn't talk about any of the men's matches at all, which kind of surprised me. I like her promo. The fact that she thinks, well, and I guess my question is from this, she's confident that she's going to beat Oscar. What do you think about this, Matt? I can't, it's surprising. A few weeks ago, I would have said, well, Oscar's obviously going to win. Now, I honestly don't know. Carmella beat Charlotte Flair clean, although Charlotte had to leave for a little bit. I honestly don't know that Carmella's going to lose to Oscar. I find that really amazing. I actually like the fact that I don't know what's going to happen on this. Any insight onto this?
Does this mean that you're going to throw a prediction my way for my Matt attack for Money in the Bank?
I'm not throwing anything right now. I'm still undecided on this one. I haven't got any pick on this.
Already put a few things forward for Money in the Bank on me thing, but Carmella shouldn't be beating Asuka, but Asuka needs to beat Carmella to keep her momentum going.
I would agree.
All the credibility she's had.
Yep.
Charlotte beating the streak, as it were, at Mania, no problem with that. Charlotte is probably the greatest women's wrestler of this generation.
Yep.
Asuka's fantastic. But Charlotte's the complete package. And Charlotte took that streak off Asuka. Charlotte got screwed by the Iconics.
Yes.
And then she won, capitalising on the win at Backlash. But I'm not entirely sure. But I think she'll beat Asuka.
Uh-huh.
But it won't be clean.
And that's probably a good way around that problem. But I think it's interesting that it's almost like a coin flip. You can tell from your voice, you're not confident either way.
I'm not.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that's an interesting one. But no, normally we've talked about this with Mason as well. Promos don't normally make like the top 10, but in recent weeks they actually have with things like Samoa Joe in particular. He's done some really good promos recently.
Yes.
And I think that shows the Carmella character as well. I thought she did a really good promo. I really like that character right now. And I never used to. I used to find her annoying and probably kind of high-pitched like you just talked about with the Iconics. But now I actually really like Carmella as that character. I really like the role that she's actually playing. All right. Now, did you have any other highlights that you wanted to talk about? As soon as that was my one, before I go into the top ten. Sure.
I noticed Samoa Joe, Dan, about his... Just so money on the microphone. Just absolute money on the microphone.
Yeah.
You can print money with him, literally.
I agree. Yep.
I've talked about the Iconics. Andrade Cien Almas looks phenomenal.
Yep.
But needs to face someone on the roster.
Now, I thought this was interesting last week. I talked to Mason before he came on and said, look, Cien Almas is going to be on next week. And we were both like, oh, this is really exciting. And then last week, nobody, me, Mason, James, none of us mentioned it as one of the moves. I said, I guess we weren't that interested in the end. And we all decided, yeah, we didn't really care. And I didn't care again this week either, which is why I didn't mention it. But yeah.
He was impressive.
Yeah.
He was impressive what he did. He was hard hitting in action. But,
yeah.
And the job was just enhancement talent.
Correct.
But, he did what he did, but it wasn't impressive.
Need
to be a name.
I agree. Yeah.
I've got two things which are probably going to irritate you.
Go on.
One is The Miz failing to get the word Fortnite right for the video game. It's a game I'm obsessed with at the moment, so the fact that he couldn't get a one word, not even two or three words.
What did he say? I don't know this. What did he actually say then?
I forget what he called it now, but it was Fortnite. I think it was Fortnite he tried calling it.
Okay. Now, I got an embarrassing confession about that. Now, I consider myself fairly smart, but I have some really dumb moments at times. I think Frank Skinner calls these idiot Eureka moments, or something basically that effect. And I didn't even realize that Fortnite was 14 nights, which is 2 weeks. That took me, I think I was in my 30s before I realized that. I was like, oh my, I realized it when I came over here, because it had to be explained to me. And I was like, oh, that makes perfect. Anyway, that's my stupid moment. I'll confess.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, so you didn't know that either then?
No, I know it, obviously, but I didn't know it. Yeah.
Yeah, it just I never realized that Fortnite was an abbreviation or a contraction of the word 14 nights. And I was like, oh yeah, wow, amazing. All right, and what was your other irritating moment for me then?
The new day were awesome this week.
Oh,
the new day were awesome.
Now I gotta ask you then: did you listen to episode 13 yet? Not that I'm trying to put you on the spot. Did you hear episode 13?
I haven't listened to all 1 hour, 25 minutes, it's, 8 seconds.
It is very long. Now, what I will tell you then is, and I covered up deliberately my top three, because I was sat in front of the screen with Mason. Normally we sit opposite sides and he can't see. And James mentioned something about the New Day being really good. And then Mason's like, I hate the New Day. And I was like, all right, I want you to see now as I scroll up on this. And I said Xavier Woods was absolutely amazing. And that I actually really like the New Day in the ring now. Now, I still hate them on the outside when they have that stupid trombone there. But no, I'm actually turning towards... I can actually see the appeal of the New Day right now. Xavier Woods, I think, is phenomenal. I was really impressed by him.
Coupled with that, I quite like Paige.
Yes. I've seen a few people say that, yeah.
She just really blossoms her role. She's been doing that about a month.
Yeah.
But Miz runs out and tries to, out... Go. I'm like, oh, this is so refreshing. We've got two face general managers.
Yeah.
We haven't had that in ages.
No.
I don't think we've ever had that in WWE, actually.
Your history goes back more than me, but yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Yeah. We've never had two face GMs at the same time. I don't think so, anyway. I could be wrong. I probably am, but I've been up since four.
All right, well, they're going to say, anyone who finds out, they can certainly tweet to you at TheMattAttackUK, and then they can let you know if they think of anybody. All right, the top 10 moments. Number 10, New Day on Miz TV. Number 9, Naomi wraps up Sonya Deville for the cover. 8, The Hammerlock DDT by CN Almas. Number 7, The Carmelo promo with Mella is Money. Number 6, Barr takes out Xavier Woods, but then Kofi comes to the rescue. That was close. That would have been one of my honorable mentions. Kofi, it looked like something out of an action film. It just looked really good on the screen. Number 5, Gallows and Anderson defeat the Usos with the Magic Killer. Number 4, skull-crushing finale by The Miz on Big E after the distraction from the bar. Number 3, Lana defeats Billy Kay to qualify for Money in the Bank. Number 2, and I thought one of us might pick this, the announcement of a Last Man Standing match on Nakamura. And I think I'd heard a lot of people on Twitter predict that that's probably what was going to happen.
Sick of hearing about Star Nakamura.
And number one, and I was surprised that they were on again last night, but anyway, number one, Daniel Bryan gets Jeff Hardy to tap out, but then Samoa Joe fails to see why he's celebrating, because those two have to face next week. In match 6, tweet of the week. Now, I actually found this 1 hour before we came on air, Matt. This is from at WWE UK. Seems we have you as our British guest today. I thought you'd be our expert, and you'd be perfect to comment on this. So the tweet is, breaking, the at WWE UK CT, which I assume is that championship tournament? I was trying to think what the CT was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. At the Royal Albert Hall on 19th of June. Now, time out at this point. I'm going to be in England at that time, and unfortunately I'm nowhere near London, which I'm really upset by. But anyway, we'll host a mega match as at WWE NXT champion at WWE Alistair teams with at King Ricochet to take on at the real EC3 and at Velveteen WWE. So not only are we going to have the tournament, we're also going to get Aleister Black and Ricochet versus EC3 and Velveteen. Is it Velveteen Dream?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a little rusty still on NXT. We haven't managed to watch it in for like a month.
I haven't watched it since I did your last show.
And I think that's probably around the last time for us too. And it's not that I don't want to watch it. It's just that we've really struggled. I know I need to go back because I know there's been some great things with Tommaso Ciampa recently, which I really do want to go back and see. All right. So what do you think about that then? Is that a match that you're going to? I'm going to assume that that's probably one you're not going to, or else I'd have heard about it on Twitter.
I would like to say I am, but I've got a lot of work covered to do that month, so I won't be going to that, unfortunately.
Oh.
It's not for lack of not wanting to.
Sure.
I would love to be there for that, because Albert Hall, fantastic place for wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Now, what I was going to think of as a quiz was, I was going to give you the 16 people in the tournament, how many can you actually name, but I thought that was a little bit mean. So I'm going to run through the list that they've actually released the list in the last couple of weeks, and I was going to see if you got any early predictions for this one. I don't know. Now, in case we didn't talk about it earlier, and I'm sure Matt's going to talk about it later, Matt does have his own podcast where he does a prediction show, and we're going to talk about it in Podcast of the Week, but we'll get one on this one as well from him, perhaps. So the lineup so far, and there's 16 people. We have Travis Banks, Flash Morgan Webster, we have Jordan Devlin, who was in the last tournament, we have Tucker, who was in the last tournament, Drew Gulak, Ashton Smith, James Drake, who was in the last tournament, Tyson T-Bone, who was in the last tournament, and then unfortunately the first 8 people they announced, I'm not sure if they are or not, so Gentleman Jack Gallagher, Kenny Williams, Joseph Connors, El Ligero, Joe Coffey, that name sounded familiar to me, I think he was in the last one. Dave Mastiff, Amir Jordan, and Zach Gibson. So, any comments on any of those, or any early predictions for you for this one?
I'm familiar with a few of those names. A few of them used to wrestle for, or still do probably, for WCPW, which has now been rebranded as Defiant Wrestling.
Okay.
It's based in New. I know a few of those names from that. El Ligero, Faith Ray Mysterio at one of their shows.
Uh-huh.
Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron.
Yes.
Even joined in on that one.
Yep.
So there's a few names I recognise there. I think you've probably got to go with someone like Joe Coffey.
Okay.
To be fair, one of the local favourites for that anyway. But, with this one, it's more a case of who does Triple H think is the most marketable, really.
Sure. And there's certainly some names in there that I like. I'm a big fan of Gentleman Jack Gallagher. And if I was to watch 205, it would probably be for him. And there is a few other names. I certainly recognize Drew Gulak as well, straight away as well. Now, the one that actually caught my interest was Dave Mastiff, actually. Now, this is how it listed his on... I'm trying to find... Oh, this was on the UKBulletin.com. It actually gave you a little profile of all these people. Now, I don't remember the name particularly. I think it's the first time I've ever seen him. Former strongman and gymnast. He's over 300 pounds and he's a gymnast. Now, I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of more interested to see how he does as a gymnast than he does as a wrestler now, right now. I got so many questions I want to ask and I don't have any answers right now. I'm hoping they're going to talk about it on the tournament, but
I'd like to point out that I'm 70 pounds and I'm a former gymnast.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm learning something already. And it says here, Dave Mastiff almost defies the laws of physics with his frenetic in-ring style. At over 300 pounds, the beast from the Black Country has been leaving audiences dumbstruck for years with his feats of thunderous athleticism, flitting between devastating power and stunning agility. So I'm not saying he's going to win, but I definitely want to see Dave Mastiff. That's the number one name that I'm looking forward to seeing on this tournament straight away.
I will point out that my gymnast days ended when I was about 8. I'm still a former gymnast.
So it's on a technicality then, I guess.
The Beast from the Black Country, what a name that is.
That's good. Yeah.
But the Beast from the Black Country, love it. I think I might keep an eye on him, actually. You never know, he might come up trumps.
That might be one to follow on Twitter, perhaps. Definitely. All right, let's move on to our last match. I think this is actually match 6. I think we've got one match less this week, because we don't have time to watch NXT at all. So my podcast of the week, I actually just listened to this morning. I had one prepared, but I'm actually going to go with this one before I forget. Now, this used to be called the Nerdist Podcast, and I guess it's changed its name. It's now called the ID10T podcast. So it looks like idiot, basically. The ID10T podcast with Matt Hardwick. And I downloaded it because I saw John Cena was on it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I kind of want to see what they got to say. It was from April the 4th, 2018, if you want to go find the episode. Now, the reason I went to see it is we don't normally get big names like him interviewed. And he actually talked to him for an hour. Normally, when you talk to the guys like that, you get like 2 minutes with them and you don't get anything out of them. You got to see the real John Cena on this one. And I liked it. Everything I've seen about him before, I like. like. I like the fact that he does all the charity work. I like his general character. What was interesting, though, is his relationship with Nikki Bella and the fact how he talked about, yeah, I'm prepared to get married now. I'm okay with that. I'm quite happy with getting kids. And then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, suddenly they're both done. Although it sounds like they're back together again. Besides that, I thought it was a really interesting interview. If you want to know a little bit more about John Cena, besides just his wrestling, you can definitely find out about that. And he talks about his new film. I think it's called Blocked. I think that's what it was called. So that one was mine. Matt, I'm going to give you the same option as James. I certainly would like you to promote your own podcast and tell us a little bit about it, where you can find it, perhaps some of your upcoming guests. And then if you want to promote anything else, the floor is yours right now, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Graham. I'm just going to go for a bit of self-gratification on this one. Because let's face it, I've got an ego and I need to feed my ego. That's something. As a matter of fact, I have it every month, or so for every WWE pay-per-view. I have a guest on with me for predictions about the event. I had Graham on for WrestleMania,
yep.
Lost to him. I had my good friend Jimmy Judgment on with me for British Royal Rumble. We drew. I had Mason on for Backlash. He whooped me like a government mule.
Mason beat everybody so far. I can't wait to send him free on that when we have that March Madness tournament, because I think no one's going to want to face him, pretty much.
I am terrified about facing him in round one. Anyway. But yeah, we are continuing with Matt Attack, obviously, right through the summer. I've actually managed to secure some quite lucrative guests to join me and Jimmy, who's going to be joining me right through the summer. I'm going to be joined by the boys from View from the Top Rope.
Oh, very nice.
As to which combination, I haven't been decided yet. It might be all three, might just be one or two. Not sure, they're all welcome. They'll be joining me and Jimmy for Money in the Bank,
yeah.
And then the one I'm most worried about, for reasons that Graham knows why, because I broke it to him just before he came on air, I managed to secure Super Kicking It with Kelsey as my guest for Extreme Rules, and I am absolutely terrified that I'm gonna make a fool of myself with such a great guest.
That's a very big name, and I dubbed her the Queen of Podcasts, and I think that's definitely befitting of her, for sure.
Absolutely, the podcast queen is gonna humble herself and slam it on a Matt Attack for a week. So I might ask Jimmy to make himself scarce for a week, so I can take a bit of a spotlight with her. I think Jimmy will be fine with teaming up for that one as well. And then, of course, for SummerSlam.
All right, now, we actually just ran out of video time on my phone, so I'm not exactly sure when this is going to put together. I know we were just talking about the fact that you're going to meet with Super Kicking with Kelsey, and I think you're about to talk about your third guest, who you're going to have coming up soon as well, Matt.
Yeah, SummerSlam. I asked these guys before I got the shout-out on their podcast last week. The Is It Over Yet boys, Sam and Dan,
yep.
Are going to join me and Jimmy for SummerSlam. Originally, I was hoping to have a much larger team for some of them, because it being a big four pay-per-view, I was hoping to do a panel sort of thing.
Sure.
So I was hoping to have Jimmy, I was hoping to have the Sam and Dan over for it, and they're going to join me for it. I was hoping to get you and Mason, but obviously you two are elsewhere.
Yeah, so, we're going to be... Yeah. Now, I'm not sure about me. I can't remember exactly. I think we're going to be in Ohio, I think is the deal. Mason yeah. certainly is going to be in Ohio. And I think I'm either traveling or... Yeah, I'm going to say, I'm not quite sure what's going on. But no, they're great guys. I know I recommended them on my podcast. That was my podcast of the week. Fairly quick. I think it was like the third episode I listened to. And I was like, oh, this is great. And I quickly listened to one and two. And yeah, I've been up to date with them. And I had to interact with them a little bit on Twitter as well. And yeah, they're great guys. That's for sure.
They said, listen out to the episode, you've got a shout out. And I was like, thank you so much. And all I got there was in big, bold letters, you deserve it. I'm like, okay, thank you very much. I really do love my ego being stroked. And I must say that, kind of sad, I've listened to that maybe 10 or 12 times. I love shout outs to everyone. So Sam and Dan, thank you again for the shout out you gave me. You guys do awesome work, and I can't speak for Mason and Graham, but I'm looking forward to working with you in the future.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, they're fantastic guys. That's certainly something, yeah. And I didn't know that they did necessarily. I always feel bad about asking people who have their own podcast, hey, do you want to come and do another podcast? Because it's like, I know how much trouble it is even putting one together without asking you how to put two together. And I guess that's the thing I still find the hardest to do. Now, you've always been multiple times like, hey, anytime, no problem. Look, let me know. And like you did this week, I was like, hey, are you available? Yeah. And you switched a few things around for me as well, I know.
Yeah, I did Deadpool 2 tonight for this.
So I certainly appreciate that, and Mason certainly appreciates it as well, that we're managing to get this out. But yeah, that's something I guess I gotta do a slightly better job of, asking people to get a few more different people on. But I still consider ourselves a fledgling podcast. This is episode 14. You've been on twice now. We've had James, we had Benjamin Banks as well. I think that's not too bad, actually. Four episodes out of 14 we've actually had somebody besides us talking, so I don't think that's doing too bad, but yeah.
You're doing good work, guys.
Well, yeah, we're getting there. We had our 3-month anniversary last week, so I think the only thing we realized it, but after the time. Mason, I said on the podcast, I don't think Mason realized, because then he asked me, he's like, when was it? I was like, oh, it was yesterday. You already missed it, because the podcast had already been released. So once again, thank you again. So you can find Matt Willis at The Matt Attack UK. I'll include that in the program notes as well, so you can find that. And also, we're going to edit in later tomorrow when we get a chance, but we won't have as much time. A few comments from Mason. I'm going to certainly ask him about a few of those other things. So, all right. Thank you very much, Matt.
Pleasure. I'm out of it.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompitech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.